Blog Talk Radio.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it over, tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, step into the palace. Better check your matters, refine divine savage. Not average, Dunny, I'm rich money. A king among men from sinness, pure ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I put the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, nap, you're glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dudes counting spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the guff on that Turner style, untainted. A messenger of light, I'm fitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross right. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich money, I rise, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep staying high. Why parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, with colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough with the truth that I hurt you. Run it, go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Welcome to GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment with Rich Money as your host. He's your CEO and host of our Friday's program. And I'm Lavina Polite. I'm just filling in temporarily for a short period of time. But welcome to GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. Before we get started, what we're going to do is we're just going to, of course, before any show, we're just going to thank the man above for just allowing us to see another day and being able to proceed with the program this evening. Last week, we had a wonderful show. We had Rich Money doing the GQ General Questions, which is the first program, the first segment of Love and Entertainment, where we have a special guest that comes on the air and they ask any questions that they would like, and then we have callers that call in and give them feedback on each topic. So Rich Money conducted that last week. We had up-and-coming artist Cato Therese. He's definitely doing big things. He's an up-and-coming artist that's taking the world by storm. And then we had the wonderful pioneer DJ Kev Ski from WBLS. He came on and made a special guest appearance. This evening, we do have a wonderful show for you. We have Dorian, Still a Lady Gary. She's going to be joining us during the GQ General Questions. And then we're going to have an up-and-coming artist, and I do not want to pronounce his name wrong, so I'm just going to say Street Rhea is going to be joining us from 7 to 8. And then from 8 to 9, we have GQ Palace's own writer, Marv Polite. He is the editor-in-chief of the Polite Society. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go to a song and give everybody just time to call in. And Dorian Still a Lady Gary will be joining us with the GQ General Questions. GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment, which is Rich Money will be calling in and joining us shortly. But while we're waiting for Dorian Still a Lady Gary to call in, I'll definitely start off with a topic. And the topic that I'm going to start off with is when you're dating, would you choose someone that is, let's just say, poor and in love, or would you rather have someone that is rich and doesn't love you at all? That's the topic that I'm going to start off with. And once again, the question is, when you're dating, would you date someone that's poor, that loves you, or someone that is rich and that does not love you at all? Would you get involved for the financial stability, or is the financial stability not really important? And that question pretty much is because in the society that we live in nowadays, the marriage rate of staying together and relationships, they don't really last a long time. So with doing some statistics on a lot of different things, the findings that I'm having is that pretty much people are staying together because they're in love, but the financial stability is what they really want. So they tend to, you know, seek elsewhere, or they try to, you know, find, you know, someone else that has the financial stability that they might need. So do you think that that's acceptable or not? Me personally, I'm going to start off by saying is I'd rather be poor and in love any day. That's just my opinion. I'd definitely rather be poor and in love, you know, because I believe that money can't buy you happiness. And if you're involved in a relationship and you're not happy, but the person has a lot of money, then that just means that you can go to the store and you could buy yourself your happiness. But at the end of the day, when you have to come home to that person, if you're not in love with that person and you have no desire to be with that person, then how is that relationship going to work? That would be my question for, of course, anyone that says that, you know, being rich with no love is exactly, you know, what they, you know, is what they need, is what they're looking for. And with that being said, I'm just going to take it a step further. And in taking it a step further, I'm just going to share a little story that I was told this week of how someone was in a relationship. One of the divas actually got diva mail on their show, and the person was pretty much stating that, you know, after like 13 years of being married, how his wife pretty much just said, you know, I don't love you anymore, and, you know, I didn't want the kids, you know, I don't want to be married to you. And of course, you know, hearing it and now saying it is definitely like hurtful, you know, especially, you know, having a heart and, you know, being, you know, engaged myself. You know, that definitely had to be, you know, a big pill to swallow. And me personally, I'm going to say, of course, it has to be someone else, somebody else who's, you know, taking up the time and, you know, replacing, to me, the husband, you know, at this time of need, to me. You know, of course, it's just my opinion, you know, on it. But I do believe that there's definitely something else going on with that situation. We are going to take our first caller. Welcome to Gigi Palace Love Entertainment. Can I have your name, please?
This is Shelly.
Hey, Shelly. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Just filling in.
All right. Good.
So did you hear a couple of the topics, or do you have a topic that you want to talk about?
Actually, I was just calling. I just got in the house. I heard bits and pieces of the topic. Can you tell me what it was again?
Okay, yeah, so we do have a guest that's going to be calling in doing the general questions, but I figured I would start it off with by asking a couple questions myself. And the first one was, would you rather be poor and in love or rich with no love?
I would rather be poor and in love because most people will say love can't pay the bills or whatever. However, that's true. But however, when you are when you are in love, when you're in love with someone, mm-hmm. you build.
Right.
That's what you do. You build.
Right.
You build a foundation. You build the financial aspect of everything, and that's how you do it. Someone who will be with someone for money, that's unhappy. That's unhappiness to me, because you're just there for the money, and you're not there for the love or happiness. You're just there for money.
Right, and but you know, with so so many things going on nowadays. I mean, a lot of people, you know, me, my answer was I'd rather be poor and in love. That was my answer.
I do too.
You know,
I do too. Me being married for quite a few years, we had our bumps and you know, financially, however, but I would rather take that over being with someone for their money any day.
Right. But even with you being, you know, married for, you know, for years, even with that, I mean, I think you said, you know, something that was very important, and that was like, you know, when you're in a relationship, you build. You know, it's about building. It's about, you know, uniting, you know, as one. And, of course, everyone has, you know, ups and downs and hurdles and stuff that they have to, you know, that they have to jump. But it has, to me, I think it's how you handle it once you come together is what the end result is going to be, pretty much.
I think the love will be stronger. This is just my opinion. I think the love will be much more stronger when you guys are struggling together and making it and still love each other. That's just my opinion. I think the love will be stronger.
I like that.
Versus
I agree.
Getting into a relationship because someone has money. Money does not buy happiness. It does not. It doesn't. However, you do have some people thinking, well, hey, I can get some red bottom shoes from him, but do you love him? Are you guys in love? So I don't know what what some people might be looking for. However, some people look for love, some people look for money.
Right. You're right. And I actually had a coworker who came and told me, she's like, listen, I'd rather be rich with no love, because eventually we'll stay together long enough, I'm going to put me a staff to the side, or he's going to die first. You know, and then I'm going to have his life insurance money. And I'm like, are you serious? You know? And
she had it all planned out. You have money, but you're unhappy. You're not in love. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, me either. I say it's something more, you know, to that situation. Because she was able to tell me point blank that she'd rather be rich with no love. You know, what's love got to do with it? And I'm like, all right, you've been watching too much TV.
Then you got to think about some women and men as well that have been in relationships where they're like, you know what, they haven't gotten anything else out of their relationship, so they will probably go for money, you know?
Right, you're right. Shelly, just hold the line. Rich Money is ready, so we're definitely going to bring him on the air. Rich Money, you there?
Hello, Dons and Jesus. How are y'all doing?
Hi, Rich.
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
What's going on? Oh, very good. And I enjoy the fact that you're going on. So, Lavinia, you could continue as well. You know, I'll join in on a topic with y'all.
Okay, you know you just called me Lavinia, which is what Mom calls me, right? I'm just saying.
You know, what happened was, I'm not going to lie to y'all, I had a chip in my mouth, so I couldn't get it out the way. I'm sorry, Lavinia.
No, it's okay. I was going to say you must have been talking to Mom today or something, you know, and she called my name and said Lavinia. But, Rich, what we did pretty much was... we have a scheduled guest coming on this evening, Dorian Still a Lady Gary is supposed to be calling in. But, of course, you know, as you do it, you know, you give people a certain amount of time and then you pretty much go and do your own thing. So I kind of took lead to that, and I made up a topic pretty much. And the first topic was, when you're dating, would you be poor? Would you rather be poor and in a relationship or rich with no love?
Mm.
Or foreign in love, excuse me. Foreign in love or rich with no love.
Wow. That is good. That's a good topic. But me personally, put me poor and in love. I'm sorry. When you're poor and in love, you know, you still got that love and you could work your way to getting the money.
Right.
If you go with somebody just for the money, who's to say that that's no real love right there? Because you went in for the money, the materialistic, you know, the lifestyle. That's no real love between y'all. Then. So if anybody wants the money, then to me, that's just a person being greedy. You're hungry. What you going to do when all the money's gone?
Yeah, well, I actually had a coworker tell me that she'd rather be rich with no love, you know, because she would always stash some money to the side. you know, for a rainy day, or, you know, she would make sure that she's like the beneficiary. So, you know, when he passed, she'll be able to collect his, you know, life insurance policy. And, you know, she said it with a straight face and everything, and she was dead serious with it. And, you know, of course, you know, you don't judge anybody. You just take heed to what they say and, you know, you know, let them feel how they feel pretty much. And she said it like, yeah, I'd rather be this, because this right here, I mean, this is nothing. You know, what's love got to do with it, pretty much?
She's
yeah, but when you have that, when you got all of the money, and then what do you have after you then bought all the shoes and purses and all of that? You're going to be lonely.
Even when you come home, you're going to be lonely. If that's
absolutely
the case, there's no love.
That's a person that just want to be lonely. You understand? You can have all the money in the world, but once that money, that money's going to go, it's going to be gone soon. You understand? And not everybody has to choose, like when people feel they have money, you could buy friends or whatever and everything. But once you do that and the money is gone, everything is gone with it. At least if you don't have no money, you have
after you have brought all you wanted to do and buy friends and hang out and all that other kind of stuff, when you get home to yourself by yourself, you will realize that, you know, this is crazy. For some people,
I was going to say, for some people, you know. But you know what, then I kind of just, like, looked at her, too, and the only thing that I could think of is, you know, as she was explaining it to me, the only thing I could think of is maybe, like, in her life, she had been in relationships where she was in love, and she got hurt by the love, you know, like it didn't work out or whatever the case was, whatever her story is, you know. I think that maybe that's why she was feeling, you know, the way that she felt, and she felt so strongly about it, you know, was because she had got burned a couple times, and now she's like, listen, I gave my all, and, you know, it didn't work. You know, of course, I sit and I try and, like, analyze it, and that's the best thing that I can come up with is, you know, because she did get hurt before, and, you know, it kind of left her, you know, feeling some kind of way and not trusting men and so on. So I think that's what it is, but...
I think so too, Lavina. I mean, everybody can get, you will be using someone for money because you have gotten hurt. However, that's wrong all the way around. That's wrong.
Exactly.
That's wrong.
That's the way some people like to do it. You know, some people like to do it like that. You know, they figure, you know, the money is they strength, they power. So some people take things to an advantage or due to the fact of a money situation. But you got to realize in some situations it's hard for some people too without money.
Of course, it's hard. I mean, everything is so expensive nowadays, and taking care of, you know, children and everything, it's a lot. Everything costs money. You're right. But I think what it comes down to is if you're in a relationship, you know, with someone, you know, Shelly had a valid point, and she was pretty much saying that, you know, you're supposed to build together in a relationship. That's the purpose of it. You know, you come together, you build, and that's how you, you know, come on the rise, I guess you can say. That's how you rise above any situation, is that you're able to, you know, actually come together and, you know, make it work that way. And I completely agree. You know, I completely agree with that, because I think that when, you know, some people have been hurt and they tend to settle, you know, I say settle because then they're settling for not really loving someone and that person really not loving them back. You know, because at the end of the day, anybody that you with and you'll pay for money, they know you're using them. You know, and it's only a matter of time before, you know, they say, okay, enough is enough.
Well, then you got to think about, do you want money or do you want love or do you want both? Because you can get both now. You can get both. You can get money and love. But if you just ask for money, you're not going to get any love. You're going to always be empty. If you're always looking forward to getting money from someone and that's all you're out to get, you're always going to feel empty inside because that's all you're seeking. You're not seeking love. You're just seeking money.
I think that's a miserable person.
Yes, it is.
A person that only wants money, so you mess with a person's heart. There's no telling what that outcome would be, but still it's uncontrollable. And then it comes to the fact of, you know, when you deal with a person and their heart, like, you're putting yourself in a real bad situation with this person.
Yes, I have a friend right now, which I had to tell her because I'm just going to share a little story with you guys, but who she drives a BMW. And the guy that she likes drives a, I think he drives a Ford something or whatever. And she told me that she really liked him, but however, his status as far as him driving his vehicle, she liked him, however, but her image was not cool, but she liked him, and she he really liked her. So I was like, material things don't really matter. What matters is that you love each other and you guys can build together. And she was like, well, I don't know. People are going to look at me crazy. Why are you worrying about what people are thinking about you? If you like this man or you love him or you want to be with him, who cares what kind of car he drives? Who cares?
Right.
Exactly, but some
those are material things. Really?
Uh huh.
Your BMW can be smashed to pieces.
You're right.
Well, and then you'll be in a rental for 2 weeks. What?
Right. What
but some of y'all females don't like to be seen in a hoopty. I'm not gonna lie. Some of y'all females not like to be seen in a hoopty. A dude will pull up, you meet a dude, and he ties me down, and he's dressed out, but in your mind, got the perfect ride. And when he pull up in there in that Honda with the side of it all scraped up and one knob blowing off the door, y'all looking like, oh, wait a minute here.
No, does that make him less than a man, though? Does that make him less than a man? That's what I was trying to explain to her. Does that make him less than a man
that he's
driving something he can afford?
Yeah, but I'm not saying that makes him less than a man. I said some of y'all females, though. I ain't say all of y'all. Some of y'all look at the dude like, what the hell? Because y'all seen his appearance, the way he's looking, the suit and tie. But now he's coming up here in a 1979 Pinto, and you don't like him no more. Because of his
face. You know what?
That's some females. Some females do that.
He's just getting around. I'm not like that. He's getting around. You know, I'm not like that. I am not like that at all. However,
some people, women, are like females.
You're right. They are.
But you know what?
Those are materialistic females that want the money instead of the love.
You're looking at the big picture of what they have and not for who they are, and that's kind of messed
right.
up. There's a lot, like you said, Rich, there's a lot of women out here. I have several friends that are very materialistic. However, I've never been materialistic, never. However, look, you got a job, you're getting a way to get around. It doesn't matter how you get from A to B. That's to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have some cars or whatever. However, they're not BMWs. Let's keep that real. But I'm just saying, it is like I was saying earlier. You have to build a relationship, and you have to do that. That's first and foremost if you want that. Now, if you just want money, then you just want money. But you cannot want to have all of these things in a relationship and love. You can't have all of that when you just base on one thing. It doesn't work like that.
But, you know, everybody don't think like
me. Yeah, you're right.
Everybody
you're right.
Think like
but, okay. I'm going to admit, when you're younger and you don't know any better, of course, you tend to like the fancy cars and stuff like that. You know, I'm not a saint, but I'm just going to say that once you get older, you start to realize what's more important. You know, and I think that's the key. You know,
yeah.
Some of us, you know, tend to, you know, get stuck in a rut and, you know, still into the material things. And others, you know, tend to go out of it because my thing is when I'm dead and gone, I can't take it with me, you know.
Right.
And when he's dead and gone, he can't take it with him. So, therefore, I've learned that I think that, you know, God has a way of humbling all of us, you know. And in the process of humbling us, he's definitely going to put us through some storms and through some tests. You know, to make sure that we're where we're supposed to be at in life and we're actually thankful, you know, for the stuff that, you know, he has allowed us to have, you know, because some people are into it. And I can't even say that people are into it because, you know, of the way that they were brought up. But I think some people are into it because guess what? It's like, In society, on TV, you see all of the fancy cars and the half-naked girls and all the jewelry and stuff like that. So who doesn't want it?
Yeah, but when all of that's over with, like you have these stars, perhaps you have these stars that are single that have been there at the stripper clubs throwing a lot of money, and then have all of these fancy cars or however. But when they get back to themselves, however, they may date girls that have sex with them. However, they are not made whole because they're not happy. So
what?
They're not happy.
Yeah, but you know what, too? Just think of it. How many of those stars actually went bankrupt? I'm just saying.
That's true. How many of them were rented just for the video?
Right. Those are rented, I think. You know, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not on the video, so I don't know for sure. But I'm just saying. I think that, you know, it's all for show. And you know, in the process of it being all for show, I think that they're not really making the best example, you know, or they're not setting the best role model for the kids, because the kids tend to think that, okay, so, you know, I don't have to go to school, you know, because I'm going to have this, but I'm going to have that because this is what I'm doing out here in the streets. I think they're promoting, some of them are promoting the wrong thing.
Right.
You know, I think that they're definitely promoting the wrong thing. And when they start to promote the wrong thing, I think that they, like, corrupt, you know, our children's mind if we haven't set a solid foundation for our kids ourselves. You know, notice I said if we haven't set a solid foundation for ourselves. You know, because
yeah, but what you said, Lavina, earlier, you were like, us as being older, and then you have our younger peers or whatever, they see the fancy cars, they see all of that. However, that's good to them. But like you said, when you get older and you're like looking at the big picture, like, that don't mean nothing. Who cares about that? I just want to be in a relationship, a loving relationship, and have somebody who loves me, and I love them. Yes, young people will tend to do that. They will.
They will, yeah. In their minds and what they... Go ahead.
I think it's because they don't know no better.
They know what's on TV.
Because it's the flashiness and the videos that we see today on TV is like, oh, I got all of this, and I have all that, and I have all this money and all this jewelry. With the young people, that's what they see. So that's all they want. They don't want, like, you know, like what we want right now, like older, you know, older generation. We don't, you know, they don't want that. They want to hang out and have fun and go to the clubs and stuff like that and get the next man or next woman that has a nice car and throwing those dollars out. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you think it's more on the society, or you think it's more on the parents?
Absolutely.
You think it's more on the parents?
I think it's
the parents, because, like I said, all of us as being parents, okay, of course, we don't want our daughters or sons to be out there just thinking about that. However, they are young, so what they see on TV and what they see at school, they're going to go with that for now. But when they get older, they're going to be thinking it's a whole lot different. Like, we were young, we're like, oh, he has a nice Audi. You know those Audis back in the day. We love those. let him have some rims on and a rag. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. So we were...
Oh, you took it back.
As young people, Rich, Lavina, as... You know, young people back in the day, we were looking at all of that. So we weren't looking for love. We weren't looking for anything but, oh, the material things. We weren't.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. But you know what? And it's true. But I think that we play, like, a major role in that as parents. And as us as being parents, we have to make sure that, you know, we, you know, definitely have the structure and discipline in our household, so we explain to our kids that, you know what, you can be driving a hoopty, you know, but it's how you are on the inside, you know, it's how much you love yourself, because when you step out that, let's just say, expensive car, excuse my language, but if you a jerk, you a jerk, you know what I mean? Like, as soon as you open your mouth, someone's going to be able to tell that there's a problem. Even if it's a female, you can have the best car that there is around. But if you're sleeping around with everybody just to get, you know, on your way up to the top, they're going to call you all sorts of names. So I think we got to make sure that, you know, we explain to our kids that, you know what, this is what you'll have if you work hard for it. You know, this is the benefit of it. Now, you can even work hard and you can have a hoopty, but guess what? That day will come and you're going to advance to get you something different once the money comes in right. I think everybody's got to, you know, crawl, you know, before they walk. You know,
you know what, Lavina, you said the funny thing that you said a hoopty. I'm going to talk about my experience as being 18. You know, you got your friend that comes chilling with the hoopty. I bet you got a hoopty, right?
Uh-huh.
You got in it, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did.
Okay, you had fun with that Lucy hanging out with your friends and all that, right?
Look, but the funny part was,
so what's the difference today?
I was 15 and driving. That's the difference. My first car, my first car was a hoopty. So being 15, 16 and driving, man, I picked up all my friends. Like, come on, I was the first out of a whole bunch of them.
The best cars that you got to stop every 6 miles to put oil in, those are the best cars.
You know what? I can't.
Yes. Those hoopies are ones that you're like, oh, well, I got to get some gas. I got to, like, kick the tire so it can get work in. Those are the best cars. The best. The best cars.
Oh, God.
But you know what?
Because
the cars nowadays, they break down faster than the older cars. Because a friend of mine, he had a Ford Explorer. And he was coming to pick us up. But he said his car broke down, and he brought his son's car. And his son got a Hootie Honda, the buttons off. And I said, yo, how is his car still running? You know, it ain't.
Hey, Rich, did it take you where you guys needed to go?
Huh?
Did it take y'all where y'all needed to go?
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Some of the old cars is better than the new one. Because they're so
my son
stylish.
My son right now, he's 21 years old, and my husband has, like, a 1982 Cutlass that we were trying to get him to get, like, you know, a reliable car or whatever. This goes to show you, living in, like you were saying, you have to teach them values or whatever. He didn't want that. He wants to fix up the Cutlass. He doesn't want a new car, which we're like, okay, we'll go out and get you, a reliable car. He's working on his vehicle right now, so that's what he wanted. Now, my thing was, when I see him working on it, I'm like, son, you can get to myself. And I let him know that, you know what, we can get you with something different. He's content with fixing that up and rolling with that. So I like that part about him. And I think me and my husband did a good job with that, because we're like, hey, you need a car or whatever. You know, I'm a grandmother now, and, you know, he needs something reliable for his son or whatever. But he's like, nah, I want this. And he works hard to fix it. He does. I have to say that. He does.
Yeah, and look, congratulations, Grandma.
He said he would rather have the money that we would spend to, getting your child their first vehicle. I mean, it depends on how much money you have or whatever, but his whole aspect of it, which I love about it, is like, you know, I don't need all of that. You know, I like this, and this is what I want. It's nothing special, but it's mine. And that's the part that I like about him.
Right. Well, we got to teach them, you know, if you work hard for it, then it could be yours, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
If you work hard, then it'll be yours, and they'll be worth, I think they'll appreciate it more.
Yeah.
I think they're definitely going to appreciate it more. You know, once they work hard for it, you know, because my daughter went and got a car, and it was funny that she got it, because my thing was, okay, her car looked better than mine. So, but I'm just saying, you know, and she's like, Mom, you know, I'm like, no, I kind of like yours. It's fully equipped, fully loaded, everything is there. You know, yours looks better than mine. You know, and it's a couple years younger, but I'm like, okay, I could have took that right there. I'm like, you want to trade? Of course not. You know, she doesn't want to trade. She's like, no, I'm keeping my car. Nah, I didn't think she was going to say yeah anyway, but it was, you know, worth a try.
But you have to teach your kids values and all that kind of stuff. I think they are. I'm not going to say that they're perfect, but I think they're grounded as far as things, you know. I mean, they have not had, like, you know, say, like, if we had, like, money. I don't have money like that, however, but I teach them the value of things, and my son and my daughter, I have to say that they are very content with value of things. They are.
Excellent.
Any relationship or whatever that they will go into, I hope that they would, that they will know that material things is not what's important.
Right, but it, you know, of course, it's what you, you know, it's what you teach them, you know, and, you know, I tell anybody, you know, if, you know, your kids are doing good and, you know, you can actually, you know, clap your hands and feel proud, you know, that you have actually, you know, raised good kids, I think that's a blessing by itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's truly a blessing. But Shelly, how does it feel being a grandma, being so young?
Girl, sometimes I forget. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna lie to y'all right now. Sometimes I forget. My son, like my grandson right now, he's 2 months old, and I get him, like, you know, of course, grandma. Well, I call it grandma, Galama. So that's what I am. But
you have to change the name. I can't.
Yes, girl. I'm my early 40s. I can't be grandma. I'm grandma. But I have forgotten sometimes that I am a grandmother because my son and his girlfriend have, like, called me up. They're like, "Ma, we're gonna bring Tyler over." I'm like, "Tyler?" Not in a bad way. But I'm saying, I'm getting used to it or whatever, and I see him every day. He's gorgeous. He's my sweetness, my weakness. However, I am getting used to it, and I love it. Okay. I do. I have to say I love it. I do.
Excellent. See, that's excellent. See, I'm not rushing it. You know, I'm definitely not.
Because I wasn't rushing it either. When those jokers told me, we're getting ready to. What?
Yeah. Because I'm like, mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm,
it is
mm-mm.
what it is, but, you know, that comes from not being, you know, what it is, guys.
So
I'm
happy
and excited.
Okay, you feel good. You're happy and excited about it. Okay, good.
I don't feel like no grandmother, though. I'm keeping that real.
Look.
Happy being a grandmother?
No, she didn't say that.
Oh.
She said she's happy and excited about being a grandma. She's happy with that.
Oh.
Yes, I'm very happy with being grandma, but I'm just saying, sometimes I forget that I am a grandmother. Because, you know, when you get older and your kids are older, like, my son is 22 and my daughter's 14, so you're, like, thinking, okay, they're good or whatever, but you're not thinking, like, a grandma? Oh, dang, I am a grandma. Yes, I am. But not in a bad way.
Right, of course. Well, but you know what? Either way, it's a blessing. You know, the baby's happy. You know, he's healthy. You know, and that's what matters. That truly, that's what matters.
I love my grandkids. I do.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Didn't expect to be a grandmother soon, but however, he's here, he's healthy, and I love him.
Exactly.
That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
all
rotten.
Of course.
Well, I'm pretty sure Grandma does that, so.
Absolutely, he's rotten.
I'm pretty sure that's
something
about
Grandma.
I think Grandma's always like that, though.
Huh?
I think Grandma's always spoiled him.
Oh my gosh, yes, Grandma. He has everything, his clothes, his sneakers, everything. He's only 2 months. I did too much.
You did too much?
Yeah, I did. I did too much. And everybody tells me, you do too much. He has all of this stuff. He's not going to wear this stuff. He's not going to do it. Well, Lavina, as being a mother, you see little stuff in the store like, oh, my daughters are getting it. They're getting it. However, you want them to have it, but you get so much stuff that you're like, when are they going to wear it? So, yes, I think I have wasted a lot of money. But, however, I wanted him to have it. And if I have to put it on him every hour or every 2 hours to take a picture,
I'm
going to
go bad. Hello, let me try this one on you. Let me try this one on you.
They grow fast.
But you know what? But you know the good thing about that too, though, is of course, you know, once he starts growing, you know, and the clothes can't fit anymore, you know, there is someone that's less fortunate out there that, you know, will definitely take it, you know, and make it their own. So that's a blessing by itself.
Absolutely. I had a conversation with my son's girlfriend, and she was like, I told her that, you know, when she starts outgrowing his stuff, or whatever. Well, she keeps this stuff really in really, really good condition, like really good condition, that we should pass it down. We should give it to Goodwill or whatever. And her thing was, well, Mom, you sent over that money. Well, maybe we should sell it. I'm not about selling it. Like you said, Lavina, it's about giving back. So it's about giving back because there's some unfortunate people that need those type of things that would love to have them. And I would love for her to give it to the Goodwill or give it to her friends or give it to somebody that can use it. Yes.
Right. And it's, believe me, you know, nowadays, you know, there is definitely someone out there. And believe it or not, it's probably someone, you know, that's definitely, like, right in your immediate circle that just won't ask for help, you know, like that, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that, like, will not even ask for help knowing that they need help.
I would prefer for her to give those clothes away than to sell them, you know. I mean, that's a blessing to me. Not saying that you have to do that to get a blessing, but however, you know what? He can't wear those anymore. We can't do anything with them. So, yeah, we need to give them away.
Right, right. So my next question for you guys is pretty much, do you believe that in having and receiving blessings that you should conduct yourself a certain way, or do you pretty much believe that, like, God knows your struggle, you know, and whatever he sees fit for you to have, he'll bless you with it?
Rich, you want to go with that, or you want me to go?
You can go first with that one.
Well, Lavina, you guys have a show on Sunday that's called Spiritual Sunday. And I remember calling into that show. And I'm not going to take it away from the show tonight, but I just want to say this, that I remember, which is true, that the reason why I don't ask him for anything, because I don't think I'm worthy, because I don't go to his house like I should. I don't do all of that. So I don't ask for anything. All I ask is to bless my family with health and everything else. I ask for nothing. I don't ask for money. I don't ask for a car payment. I don't ask for anything because of that reason. That's just something that I do inside myself. However, blessings are blessings. Now, when you do stuff, don't do stuff for a blessing. That's not what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in you. It has to be inside of you.
That's
you
right,
know,
but, and I actually forgot that you had said that, Shelly, let me ask you a question. With you saying that, but you're blessed, you know, you're truly blessed, and, you know, you woke up this morning, you know, you're thankful, you know, we were just talking about your, you know, your grandson and, you know, your husband and the kids and everything. With everyone doing good, you know, and everyone, and you,
well,
you're blessed as an individual.
We're making it.
But you're alive. That's why I say good.
Absolutely.
You know, you're alive. Do you feel like because you didn't ask for anything that things will come to you and you work hard for it? You know, because me, when I pray, you know, I don't ask for, you know, a blessing. You know, I just pray that whatever God, you know, allows me, you know, that he delivers it to me. I pray for that. But I don't, you know, it's easy to pray for a car payment or something like that. But my thing is, you know, you can pay for a car payment, but, you know, if God forbid you have your paycheck next week, you're going to pay your car payment, you know.
Right.
If you know your rent is due, you know you're going to work extra hours to get your rent paid. But without asking for it.
Well, like I was saying in Spiritual Sunday, and I know we're in a different show right now, but I don't ask him for anything because I don't go, and my neighbor told me this a couple of weeks ago, just because you don't walk through his doors does not mean that you're not blessed. However, inside of me, I feel that what are you asking him for? What are you asking? You don't even go to church. What are you asking him for? You don't need to ask for anything unless you go ahead on and do what you need to do. That's just my thing. That's not anybody else's. It's like my neighbor told me, she's a pastor. She was like, you're already blessed. You're already saved. You're already this, that, and whatever's going on. However, I'm not sure why you don't ask him for things, because I don't. I don't, Lavina. I don't ask for things. All I ask is to take care of my family and to make sure they're healthy. That's all I've ever get on my knees and pray for. I don't ask for things.
So,
and I remember Reverend Witherspoon, It's just something
well,
about, well, I'm... Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Shelly.
No, I just don't think... I mean, we're on the show, but I'm going to keep it real. Like I said, I am not saved. I don't go to church, so I don't think that... It just means that I'm worthy to ask for things. I just ask for help for my family and love my family. Like I said, the pastor was my neighbor. She basically was going to cut my head off because I said that, but...
Ooh.
She was like, oh, saved, and you love God and this, that, and the other. You should do that. I mean, this is something that I had. Like I said, this has been quite a few months since I was on a show that had said something about that, but it's true, and that's how I feel.
Right. And believe it or not, and not for nothing, I know when she probably said it, you probably looked at her like, what? You know, but she's absolutely right. You know, she's absolutely right, and she is. She's absolutely right. And, yes, shout out to Spiritual Sunday. That is on Sunday from 7 to 9 with myself, Lavina Polite. Sorry, Rich Money, have to give myself a shout out. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
but, you know, yes. Yeah, that was my plug-in. That was my shameless plug, you know, because I didn't announce the beginning part of the show. But, Rich Money, what's your answer to the question?
I'm lost now. Y'all, the question went by so long, I'm like, Lord.
Did I throw you off, Rich Money? Did I throw you off with my drama?
You kind of, like, threw me off because it got so interesting. I'm actually sitting here listening to y'all, and I'm like, wow. And I just got thrown off.
No, that's just how I feel. That's all.
Right.
That's just how I feel.
No, because it was a deep conversation. You know, I'm just sitting there listening, and I'm, you know, because I was going to ask you, why do you feel you're not worthy to ask the Lord for anything?
Okay, I think, and this is just my thing. It has nothing to do with anybody. And, like, I don't go to church. I mean, I know the Lord, but I don't go to church. I don't go through His doors or anything like that. So I'm thinking... Of course, I pray every night. I pray for everything. I pray for bubblegum. Each time I put bubblegum in my mouth, anytime I put anything in my mouth, I pray for it. However, I was like, you know, you don't even go to church. Now, I'm not making an excuse for the reason why I don't go to church. However, that's why I think that, honestly, keeping it real, that I'm not worthy to ask Him for anything. Honestly.
Well, why?
Because you don't go to church, though.
I am.
Because you don't go to church.
It's because you don't go to church. That's why, though.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Right. That's Rich Money. That's what she was sharing with us. That, you know, the question that I was pretty much asking was, you know, do you believe that, you know, your blessings will automatically come to you, or do you believe pretty much like Shelly was saying, you know, she doesn't pray for like anything financial, you know, she just,
no,
you know, asks God to, you know, pretty much just, you know, keep, you know, protect her family and, you know, her kids and, you know, her loved ones, keep them, you know, safe and sound. But she was saying that. So I'm saying, do you believe that your blessings will come automatically, or do you believe that you have to, you know, like do something to receive a blessing?
I believe in both of them, to be truthful. Because I believe the Lord sees what you're doing. And you do for people, the Lord accepts that. And, you know, you're blessed. And your blessings will come to you automatically. You understand? Just like they say, when the Lord sees you do evil things, people say you go to hell. You understand? But they can't determine where you're going to go. Only the man says, no way you're going to go. Either you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. A lot of people don't believe in hell. So that's why they always say heaven. But to me, there is a hell, because you got so many people out here that's doing the devil work that they don't realize how bad it is. So they actually believe that there's not a heaven, there's not a hell. But there is a difference between heaven and hell. And for me, I believe your blessings will come to you as well as you're doing for others.
Well, I believe wholeheartedly that quite a few times, I told you guys that I don't ask for things. And I remember quite a few times where I didn't have freaking gas money. And I go to work and I'm like, I have no gas money and just chilling at work. And all of a sudden, they're like, I get like a bonus. And I'm sitting there crying in my seat, like, you just got $500 and you had no money, no nothing, and you barely make it on smoke. And I just got on my knees in my office and thank God for that, because that was a blessing.
Right.
However, those are things that I don't ask him for. However, he blesses me with those things which I don't ask him for. And that's
right.
Just one thing. That's just one thing. I don't ask for things. Like I'm saying, I think that he's looking on me like, okay, you asked me for nothing. However, you know what? I'm guaranteeing to do my work.
Right. You're right.
I don't ask for stuff like that. I don't ask him for money. I don't ask him for car payments. I don't ask him for stuff like that. Just make sure my family's okay. That's all I ever ask him for. Every night.
And see, I think that... I think that if it's not in your heart for you to do, you know, when you do right, you know, by people, or you do things for people, I believe if you're not doing it from the heart, you're doing it because you expect something back in return. I'm answering my own question too. I like to input to it, you know, as well. And I think that a lot of people do things and they expect something, you know, back in return, and that's why they do it. But I believe if you do it from the heart, when you do it from the heart, that's you doing it because you feel it in your heart that that's the right thing to do, and you don't expect anything back in return. I think that when you, you know, when you pray, you know, for blessings, I think that because people, this life that we live is not ours. You know, God already knows exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, except for something that could happen tragic that he might have no control over. You know, I think that when you just... You know, when you just think of it and you say, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to do this because it's helping someone out, but you're doing it from the heart. I know that you'll automatically receive a blessing for that because you're doing it from the heart and you're not expecting anything in return. But when I pray, I'm not praying for God to pay my car payment or pay my rent or nothing like that. No, I'm happy and I'm thankful for my health and strength. I'm happy to see another day. I'm happy that my kids are good. I'm happy that my family's good. I'm happy that we're growing together, you know, as the business is getting bigger. I'm happy for things like that. But a lot of people out there do believe that if they, you know, if they pray for a blessing, that, you know what, they'll get a blessing. You know, and to be honest with you, when I was younger, I prayed for a financial blessing. I'm just saying.
I believe that if you pray to the Lord, yeah, you'll get it, but he'll give it to you when he's ready. You know what I'm saying? He feels you ready.
That's right.
You know, when
that's
it comes
right.
to the financial blessing, it's hard to determine because you got some people that's out here, they get eviction notices, they pray, and eviction notices still wind up getting that eviction notice and throwing out. You understand? But who's to say later on down the line, something better don't come, but it's still a fact of them getting that eviction notice in their hand right there. When they're throwing out their house, just like
yeah. But how about just pray just to pray, not for any. Well, you know what? I pray not for anything. This is just me. I don't pray for anything from him. Nothing from my God. He's good. I don't pray for anything. I'm just blessed to be here every day and just be here every day. And that's just my thing within myself. However, he has blessed me when I hadn't even thought. Like I said, I had, like, no lunch money, like, no gas. I was not expecting any of that, none of that. And he blessed me with something I didn't even ask for. I didn't ask for any of that. Well, I am blessed. Yes, I am. And I'm not taking it from him, the fact that, you know what, Kelly, you don't ask for anything or whatever. Maybe he might be like, she asked me for nothing. She's just a regular person. You know what? Just bless my family. Just make sure that they're okay. She asked me for nothing. However, he did bless me quite a few times. All my life, I'm blessed.
Well,
I'm still here. I'm blessed.
Do you feel that you didn't ask? You feel that you're getting blessed for things because you don't ask for them?
No. I feel that I'm blessed because he knows that, you know what? You know what, Rich? That was a good question. Let me back up 1 second.
While you're thinking of that, Shelly, I just want to make sure that I mention to everyone that that's one of the good things that makes God good, is that he loves you even when you don't love yourself. You know,
exactly.
That's what makes it good. He'll bless you when he feels it's right for you to receive that blessing. That's how good he is. You don't necessarily have to ask for it, but at the end of the day, when he feels that he wants to give it to you, or he wants to make it available to you, then he'll make it available to you. But the other part to that is too, the same way God can bless you with it is the same way he can take it away.
Absolutely.
But now you can go ahead, Shelly. Sorry.
Okay. Now I have to back up for your question. Now, with that being said, basically, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say this. I had some issues going on or whatever with me or whatever with family life and all kinds of stuff, whatever. Not trying to put this on the show or whatever. Well, yeah, I'm going to put it on the show. But I'm just saying, just stuff in general, like I said, I don't ask for anything. Now, I don't know if you ever, any of you guys have ever had, like, no money, nothing, or, you know, the rent is due and you just have, like, no, nothing, and he comes through from out of nowhere. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Are you kidding me? I'm pretty sure you guys have had that before.
Yeah, so you're saying that that's like a blessing.
Absolutely, it's a blessing. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
It couldn't have been nothing that was probably sent to you from something you owe. You automatically assume that it's a blessing. I'm just asking. I'm not trying to change around.
No. To me, yes, I do. Personally, like I said, I don't walk through his doors on Sunday. I don't care what church he goes to. I don't do any of that. However, anything that he gives me or blesses me with, like I said, again, I don't ask him for things. And if you guys can go back in the iCarbs on the spiritual summit, I never ask him for things. However, he still blesses me. He blesses me all the time. Yes, he does. And I'm very grateful and thankful for it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So why do you feel he's not worthy?
Understand? You know why? I feel, well, the same thing like I said on Christmas Sunday. The reason why I feel that I'm not worthy because I don't walk through his doors. I don't pay tithes. Yes, I get on my knees and pray every single night. However, you know what, Rachel Ravina? I don't know the Bible like you guys know. I don't know that. I'm not ashamed to say that. However, to ask him for anything and you don't even know the word that is put forth in front of us, oh, yes, that's true. However, I'm making no excuses for that, but it's true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Shelly, I want to thank you for joining us. My line is flooded, so people, if you want to join in the conversation, all you got to do is press 1 to join in. If you're on your PC, the number to call is 646-200-3838. Press 1 to join on the line. But, Shelly, I want to thank you for joining us. We have another topic about the startup. We have up-and-coming artists. Real in the building, and he's gonna be playing some of his smashes. And is there a final thought you would like to give on this segment, Shelly?
Oh.
Is there a final thought you want to give on this segment?
Hello.
Okay. Well, I think we lost Shelly. I think.
No, she just said hello. Shelly, you there?
I'm good.
Oh, she said I'm good.
Oh, okay. Well, people, I want y'all to stay on the line. The line is flooded. We have my man Street Ray about to come in the building. So what we're going to do is sit back, relax, hold on tight because his material is fire, hitting the nation real hard. I'm your host, Rich Money. I also got Ms. Lavina Polite on the line for covering for us. I believe she's going to stay on the line with us for a while. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
Here's a story about a young girl, true and all, been through it all. She was only 16, but swore she knew it all. No family, no one to call, in the world she's lost. Skipping school, letting all the boys inside her drawers. Getting higher, morning weed, I'm talking coke and speed. She feels cool with some something that she don't really need. She barely reads and writes, running with them thieves at night, sleeping with grown men in search of a sweeter life. She sells her body for a sweet price. One sniff for that blow and she's in paradise. She wants to find herself, but has no insight. At night she cries for help, cause she don't understand life, at least the life she lives. What kind of life is this for a young girl whose life is priceless? Precious as a jewel, but here's the sad news. She died of AIDS, another gone too soon, too soon, too soon.
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe, wondering why she's really here. She's standing in my room. No, she's not, cause she's gone, 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 gone.
She wakes up every morning after a good stretch and yawning, ready to face the trials and tribulations of the day. He feels his family doesn't love him cause he's gay. No one accepts him except for the ones he's sexing. He gets bullied in school, the kids treat him cruel. He wants to end it all but not sure what he should do. His heart is filled with blues, he has nothing to lose. Still he dresses and dresses in high heel shoes, with his long hair, lipstick and pretty jewels. It makes him to stay him and not change for them. So misunderstood, somebody pray for him. All alone in this world, no one to take him in. I pray to God and make a way for him. He wants it all to end, though it's hard to overcome the situations that he's in. Because he loves men, who are we to label that as sin?
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up, it's a part of you roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe, wondering why she's really here. She's standing in my room. No, she's not, cause she's gone, 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 gone.
Mom and Dad had a little baby girl, but the daddy wanna be in a little baby's world. So she grew up confused, thinking to herself, why daddy ain't wear them shoes to put on his feet to walk her to school. The other kids' fathers did it, that was cool. She cried so much tears she could have made a pool. She felt this pain all through grade school. Father's Day came, she wrote, I hate you. When that karma come, Jesus can't save you. Her conscience saying, your dad probably hates you. Show love to his son so he looks like an angel. On Facebooks and pics, it's all smiles. When she sit on the other side, it's all frowns. Now her little heart damaged, thinking to herself, will he care if I vanish? Mommy, why my daddy don't love me? Then her conscience say, probably think you ugly. Big day for her graduation. She texts him, are you coming? Please don't have me wait, don't have me wait, don't have me wait.
When you're dreaming with a broken heart, don't wake it up, it's the hardest part. You roll out of bed and down on your knees, and for a moment you can hardly breathe, wondering why she.
Coming artist, Street Rev. Street, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man?
Street, what's going on, fam? What's going on?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, I want to thank you for taking the time out to join us and everything. I know you're a busy man. You got a lot of things going on.
No doubt.
Now, let me know, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Streetza Real.
Jesus, all right, got it. Now, how did you come up with that name?
Man, it came up with it just relevancy to my music. You know, I'm painting vivid pictures of the streets. And so instead of just saying I'm the realest rapper or I'm the realest this and realest that, I'm just letting the words speak. And the name is brand is representing the gutter, representing the slum, representing the half not. So it's just something that the streets can relate to. The streets are real.
Now, how old was you when you first started
rhyming?
MC?
I was 15.
Now, who would you say influenced you in all that?
Biggie Smalls, Nas, Pac, Big L. I was always, you know, all into the lyrics, vivid stories, you know, DMX, Jay. Mm-hmm. Nah, I just always, like, you know, related to the the half not coming up. They always painting pictures of the gutter, so coming up from type of the people, you know, I draw it to.
Now, I know you did a lot of music. Now, what's some of the mixtapes you have done in the past?
Some of the mixtapes you said?
Yeah.
All right. Well, my first one was Streets is Talking. I recorded it out of my living room. It was a pre-production, you know. Did like 24 songs. Put it on Dead Piff. Kind of a local thing. Didn't have too much support. And instead of complaining about it, I invested in myself. Went into Street Certified 1. Got a DJ. Went out here in the streets. Promoted it. Did shows on it. Then I went with Tales of the Streets. And after that, I went into Cold World. And I just did Certified 2. And now I'm dropping Hell and High Water coming soon.
Okay.
So,
now, I know
between
Hell
and
High Water. That's
so between all them. Got 800 other songs already recorded. So we're going to be dropping out tons of mixtapes for the streets. Tons of music, you know, gonna keep street feet, you know, with the good music. It's definitely on deck.
Now, what's going to make your music from the past different from the music you got now?
Because I matured a lot in the past, you know. I've grown to a different person, you know, a better person, you know. I'm representing the same struggle, the same pain, same slums, the same gutter, but at the same time, you know, I'm able to stay alive and give people a different representation of not just the negative part. You know, I can talk about the good part, you know, seeing other things other than, you know, violence or whatever. So, you know, to give people something to look forward to, definitely I got from hip-hop in the past, so I want to be able to get that back.
Okay, but what I want to do right now, I want to get into one of your singles, True to the Game. Tell us about that.
True to the Game, I just wanted to talk about all the things that come with being out here in the slums, you know, being out here in the gutter, not really having much, and you getting stuff. But as your destiny, you know, get to where you want to get, not staying true to who you are as a person, where you come from, you know, it got goods to it, and it got bads to it. In every situation, it's pros and cons. But I necessarily on this, I focus on the cons of the situation. And so the picture that I'm painting is, you know, stay true to the game. Because if you don't, it won't stay true to you. And so, you know, you get a picture of two different scenarios of real life, people going through it, and then I just did what Picasso would do. I just painted a picture. So when you press play, you know, they'd be able to see that picture. It's like a movie.
All right. But we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas. Here it is. True to the Game by the one and only Streets of Real. Remember where you heard it. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
On that one, no question about it. Now,
If you could perform with any artist that's out right now, who would it be and why?
And you know what? It'd be Nas on some real shit. It'd be Nas because, man, you know, number one is one of the greats that I grew up listening to. Like I said, coming up, and you know, a lot of the greats that I come to, they ain't around. You know, they left the world. Rest in peace, they souls and everything. But you know, fortunately, still do have Nas around. You know. And I love to be able to have the opportunity to be on the same stage with him, maybe do a song one day, because, like I said, I listened to It Was Written, Illmatic, you know, things like that. Godson, some of the classics, you know, and they inspired me, you know, the wordplay, you know, consistent pain, what he was, you know, going through. You know, like I said, I related. And so, you know, to be able to have that opportunity, you know, to be something good for hip-hop, Midwest, East Coast type of thing.
Now, in your success, you know, at the rate you're going right now, where do you see yourself, let's say, 2 years from now?
Definitely see myself on your TV screens, all over your internet, all in your cities, all in your stages, booked everywhere. You know, definitely gonna have more of a machine behind me. You know, right now, it's just me doing everything and everybody in the streets, word of mouth. But eventually it's going to get way bigger, and I'm going to have a lot more believers that's in my corner, you know. And like I said, it's going to be something that's going to go worldwide. And when something is relatable and you know, it's real, and people can draw to it, they feel the emotion, they feel the pain, they hear it, it's an instinct, they're going to run with you. So that's what's going to happen. People are going to run with me. We're going to get the job done.
Definitely feel you on that. And I don't usually play 4 tracks, but I want to get into another one of your singles. You know what I'm saying? Because your joint is definitely fire. And I need my audience to listen and hear, you know, exactly what's going on with you. So the next one I want to play by you is called No Love. Tell us about that.
Man, that's just like I said, how I feel. You know, like I said, it's been me. It's been 16 years. I've been making music, putting it out on my own, different sacrifices to, you know, get them videos on the internet, to get that studio time, to get them shows, get them CDs burnt, to get around and get this going, risking my life, my freedom, and everything that came with it. It never been an excuse. You know, I always got the job done. And when I made No Love, I wanted to paint more so a picture of how I feel, what I'm going through. You know what I'm saying? Everything about up until this point, you know, in my life. And I felt like I did a good job at that, you know. So when you listen to this track, you get a chance to understand more so the person, the individual, you know. And then, you know, you understand where I'm going once you definitely just stay attention, pay attention and stay tuned, you know, and go on the record. Shout out everybody right now that's tuned in, and now we're going to take it worldwide. Let's get it going.
No doubt. No doubt. Let's make it happen. No more to be said. Real Dons and Divas. No love.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Living life of lust, betrayed, some days crushed, amazed, the game changed since the youngin' growing up. Remember cold night, one heat, a woman in the crib. Pray to God for strength, cause the devil tryna win just another day. Every dollar I gotta get it. Memories, I was young, in my room with the pistol, bagging nickel. Got the pistol for protection, cause pussies will test you. Why they 38 so special? Trust in God, hope he helps you, such a cold world. People's plotting the race, I'm watching for snakes. Haters get shot in the face, come put a nigga on. This for a couple niggas gone, coming home. 100 months, was stuck and listen to bone. Baby mom, she a stripper. She only fuck with niggas addicted to dope dealers. Was young and she never listened, now she got it bad. With a fetish for cash, design the bag. Everything she grew up never had, ain't no pity for. World chew her up and swallow, got her mad at her mama, cause she never had a father. Best at no power. See how you get done when you ain't got a dollar for the niggas flipping powder. Only a couple options. Look out for the coppers and the robbers. Ain't no love for a nigga. No love for a nigga. No love. Ain't no love. No love. No.
the days when they used to be. Uncle Pat still living Nazi, smoking green. Feel a nigga pain, shit I can't explain. No need over stress, cause we all need change. And I can give you a story on how it used to be. Truthfully, it wouldn't matter, cause it still wouldn't bring Uncle Pat back. On Nancy off that crack, put some wings on snow, stop the brakes from the crash. My little sister went to smash, little brother wore rubber, and he never was a dad. Wiped the pain from my eyes, from the shit I never had. Would've started all over, Lord, just to see my cause ain't no love, no love, no love. Ain't no love for a nigga, no love for a nigga. No love for a nigga, ain't no love for a nigga. No love for a nigga, no love for a nigga. No love for a nigga, ain't no love for a nigga. No love for a nigga, no love for a nigga. No love for a nigga, ain't no love for a nigga. No love for a nigga.
Much love, bro.
Oh, I thought I lost you for a minute. It got kind of quiet back there. For everybody, yeah, I want to get in contact with Streets. You're already on the line. All you got to do is press 1 to go on the air. If you're on your PC, the number to call is 646-200-3838 and press 1 to go on the air. Now, Streets, let me ask you. Have you done any videos concerning any of your music right now?
Right now, I got like 5 videos out. None of these songs you played, but as of right now, I am in the process of shooting a lot of brand new videos for this upcoming project, Hell and High Water. So you can definitely expect a brand new catalog of videos for these records you playing or whatever for the streets. And I'm definitely gonna bring them live and direct my cable.
Okay, now I see in the bio you are over 800 songs, like you said. How did you accomplish it writing over 800 songs? That's a lot of songs right there.
Like I said, you know,
that's more than
two. Like I said, I got more than that though. Just once the cameras get on me and they come to see where I'm actually at and see how I'm living and I can show my work. They're gonna say, damn, this dude straight really from the gutter, you know what I'm saying? And I come from a family of 14 brothers and sisters. And so in the process of all these years coming up, through the lights being off, the water being off, the gas being off out here in the streets, now I'm thugging, you know what I'm saying, to get whatever, you know what I'm saying, to survive. And so through the whole process, I did nothing but write. And so it's like a good movie of what I've been through up until this point, coming from a family of 14, living in St. Louis, living in the gutter, and being a product of our environment, and like I said, still painting them pictures accurate as hell. So, you know what I'm saying? That's how I accomplished writing them songs, and I'm still writing them songs, and I feel I'm going to keep writing those songs because I'm really that shit that a lot of them cats pretending, you know what I'm saying? This is the real deal. And once the cameras be on, it's going to show and tell. Won't be no more talking.
Okay. Definitely feel you. Now, I see you do something with B.B. Rock.
B.Dot Rock. Yeah, that's my brother.
My fault.
Yeah, it's all good.
Shout out B-Dot Rock. $1 million Man. Tell us about that.
That's something we started like 16 years ago. MDM, $1 million Man, ENT, you know, me and my bros, you know, B-Dot Rock, AR-15, Goldie, and we got us a label we're going to start. It's going to be major one day. Right now, it's indies. We dropping all our music indie. We selling it. We shooting our videos. We just, you know, working our own empire, starting the dynasty. One believer to a billion. You know, that's what it's about. So, you know what I'm saying? We got not just me coming out with these raw records. All them guys that I didn't mention, they all got raw records in. We got a bunch of producers. You know, shout out Rax, KMG, you know, Kenneth Major, D. Wright, EJ Falero. It's a bunch of people I can't mention. Faded on the beat, West Up, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people, you know, that came through for me throughout these years and gave me these beats, you know, from different cities, different towns, countries, worldwide, seeing my vision. And we're going to break bread at the end of the day because, you know, it's all about being real and staying true to the game. And so much love to all my supporters, including you, Rich Money, Real Talk.
No doubt. You know, you can probably gonna support you the whole way, or not. All the way. Ain't no doubt about it. Now, you say in our quote, substance is a must in the lyrics. Listen, understand, be inspired by their unique talents and beats that arouse the sense. Tell us about that. Get it back, man. Ain't that
so? When you hear this music, it's gonna do something to you. Like, when you see something that's good, you gotta get a reaction from it. When you see something that's bad, you get a reaction from it. When you touch something, you feel something from it. And so I'll just put it like this: once you be able to use your own mind and not, you know, follow a trend or nothing, just use your own senses, how you personally feel or view it from when you seen it, from when you hear it, you gonna know what's right or wrong from there. And at that point, you know, go forward or we go behind. But either way, we make history, though. And so at the end of the day, I feel like the music gonna touch you, especially if you real. And there's a lot of half-nots walking around. I'm a half-not. I'm from the gutter. I come from nothing. Ain't ashamed to admit it. But that don't necessarily mean we're gonna always be down. So it's one nation, no matter what color you are, and we all gonna come up together. That's what it's about.
I definitely feel it. Now, I know in your bio when I quote, you state you're going to make a percentage. A percentage of what you make will go to the St. Louis Subway. Tell us about that.
I got some songs on Reverb Nation that, you know, anybody decided to buy, they automatically get a percentage going right to the cause. And they started that. They got it for a lot of indie acts. You can either account on Reverb Nation. Shout out Reverb Nation. You know, they got the that right there. You can set up that buy your one of the singles or two of the singles and whatever. How many singles you decide to buy, you know, percentage go to the call, good calls, you know. And that's how we gonna do it. And then, like I said, once it get bigger, you know, my own call is gonna be supporting the gutter, bringing recreations to the hoods, parks, giving people things time to do. We need to work on the education, you know, get these kids some books, you know, computers, things like that. That's what they really need, you know what I'm saying? Because the schools, they don't have none of that, you know what I'm saying? So if they can't learn at the school, they're going to learn in the streets. And so we got to keep occupied. And so I feel like that's where the money needs to go. So right now, you know, I'm working towards getting it. But once I get it, you know, the cameras go on or off, we're going to do what we need to be done. And that's staying true to the game.
I definitely feel you. Definitely doing it big, man. I want to play another one of your singles. Then we come back, I want to ask, you know, how do you balance everything out? But first, I want to get into another one of your singles called My Click. Tell us about that.
Man, song My Click. Shout out B. Wright. He produced the beat. Shout out Chicago, St. Louis, Chicago Connect. But anyway, the song My Click is dedicated to anybody that ever told me, man, I ain't gonna play your record because you ain't got no money, or I can't let you perform because you ain't got no money, or ever done me bad, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna win regardless. And I made that song as a way to talk about how I feel about y'all, you know what I'm saying, personally. And at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, it's a million of us and it's only a few of them. So, you know, the half-nots will come up, and that song represents that. Shout out everybody worldwide viewing it. Rich Money gonna rock.
No doubt.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Man.
So many motherfuckers ain't no nothing.
So many motherfuckers, man.
But fuck y'all niggas.
Fuck all you hating ass niggas.
Straight up, nigga.
Huh?
I said, did one for the niggas, said I wasn't gonna be shit. Did one for the hoes plotting on me when I'm rich. Did one for the niggas hating on me like a bitch. Did one for my fucking niggas, did one for my fucking. I said, did one for the niggas, said I wasn't gonna be shit. Did one for the hoes plotting on me when I'm rich. Did one for the niggas hating on me like a bitch. Did one for my fucking niggas, did one for my fucking clique.
Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Don't be afraid to go sell at it. You know, whatever you got. And then
put 90% in your brand and 10% in it live, you know what I'm saying? And you'll be all right, you know what I'm saying? And still, don't be afraid to get no job either, because you got to have that paper to be able to make everything work out. Cause ain't nobody going to give you nothing.
Now, let me ask you.
Sure.
Now, what type of deal are you looking for? You looking for a major, something independent, or it really don't matter?
I'm indie right now. I've been rocking an indie for a while. If it's going to be major, it got to be like a label situation. Like I said, I got too many acts. And so if I get this bread, build on my own, make this tour money, stack it all up right, I had a machine to do everything my own and be able to tap everywhere else, north, west, south, east, everywhere I'll be able to push it. That's all it's about, being able to reach the people. And so the more people I be able to reach by the masses, the more the chances of me being out there. And so that's what it's about. So I might keep it indie, or I might jump with a major with the right situation and the right numbers talking. But at the end of the day, it's about keeping staying consistent with music and staying true to the game and letting the people being able to relate to you. So I'm going to keep that good music coming no matter what.
Now, I know you did a lot of shows, you know. But let me ask you, what's the first thing that comes to mind before you step out on the stage?
First thing step on my mind when I'm on the stage is, damn, I'm here. Finally here. It be that. You know, because you had anticipation on, damn, this day coming. And then, you know what I'm saying, when you get there, it all the little anxiety just wipe away from you. Just do what you gotta do. You know, it's just like we family. You know, you seeing some family, you know, that you ain't never seen in hell. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a good feeling.
So now, who does your production? Because I know your production is fire.
Man, I got some killers making my beats, man. Shout out, like I said. Let me do it again. Shout out Marv Beats, Candace Major. My nigga Faded on the West Coast, Rax, B. Wright, you know what I'm saying, DJ Falero, it's many of all, King Chris, you know, he did Already Pete. There's a lot of people, man, that's out here, they have not like me, you know what I'm saying, we trying to get it, and they the one with the hardest beats, they just ain't had the spotlight on them, so when the spotlight do get on them, it's going to expose other people that's out here don't have nothing making hard beats, just as hard as beats, the other cats out here making and killing. You know what I'm saying? You get some kids out here way more hungry. And they coming up with beats like that. You can vibe to and be able to want to have it in your car, in your iPod, while you in the club, all that, while you being social. You know what I'm saying? They making the beat. The beats is raw. So shout out all of my producers. And anybody else that want to send me something that's raw. $1,000,000ENT@Gmail. Don't forget.
No doubt. Now, considering your life, if you could change anything that you have done in the music industry or haven't done yet, is there anything that you would change depending on how your life is going now?
You know something? I would have said yeah, just because I'd be like, yeah, I would have said, yeah, I probably would have changed the way I would have came across getting the finances to do certain stuff. You know, early in the game, well, once I, you know, got my senses right, you know, it ain't worth risking everything for something. Sometimes you gotta be like, man, you gotta work that regular job. You know what I'm saying? You can't go out here and go bust somebody up their head or nothing. You gotta just, you know what I'm saying, pray and work your butt off. You know what I'm saying? Believe in yourself. You know what I'm saying? And so I had to do that earlier. You know, I probably got way farther, but I ain't gonna dwell on the past. We're gonna just go forward from there. And you know what I'm saying? Just stick to the path and stick to the script and don't let nothing come between intercepting, you know what I'm saying, getting ahead. And so at the end of the day, it's a win-win. It's nothing, progress being made and consistent music being going through the streets. We're definitely going to keep them fed. Real talk.
Definitely. Now I want to get into one more of your singles. Disloyal. Tell us about Disloyal.
Man, I wrote this record. I just wanted to talk about everybody that we all have people that do us wrong, and you know we always want to say what we shouldn't have done. And I just wanted to reflect on, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of that, and give you a perspective of know, going ahead from it. Just know a lot of people ain't for you, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, at the end of the day, you got to be able to recognize that things what they are, common interests, be able to figure out that, be able to figure out the social deed. They don't match and incline, move on. But that's what that record reflect on or whatever, and it's raw. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Marv Beats. And, you know what I'm saying? It's a hit. It's a banger. Go ahead, Rocky.
All right, we're going to get into that right now. All right, Dons and Divas. Here's another banger by Street Savia right here on GQ Palace Radio. Love and entertainment. It's loyal. Remember where you heard it. It's butter.
This is a GQ Palace.
A lot of motherfuckers ain't loyal, cause a lot of motherfuckers ain't for you. And a lot of motherfuckers ain't loyal, cause a lot of motherfuckers ain't for you. And a lot of motherfuckers ain't loyal, cause a lot of motherfuckers ain't for you. And a lot of motherfuckers ain't loyal. And a lot of people ain't for you. And a lot of niggas ain't loyal. And a lot of bitches want from me. No sweat, motherfuckers ain't loyal. And a lot of people ain't for you. And a lot of niggas ain't loyal. And a lot of bitches want from me. No sweat, motherfuckers ain't loyal.
Come through. And then everything be judged off my actions.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and shout out Sergio Martinez. He the one made that beat. You know what I'm saying? And Marv B, shout out him too. But Sergio Martinez made that beat.
So, okay, I know you're willing to do something with the producers, but what about MCs? Are you willing to collaborate with MCs as well?
Yeah, I'm willing to collab with MCs, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got some raw music, a hot single that's killing the streets, or something that's flooding everywhere, wherever city you in, town, small village, country. Email me at $1,000,000men, MENENT at gmail.com, man. I'll get on your record, man. Go ahead, make it happen. You just pay for the studio time, and I'll go ahead and do everything else for free. I want to get my name out like you. And I got a little song going, you know what I'm saying? We going cross-promote. Let's get it worldwide. The streets of Rear and whoever.
No doubt. Like I said, my lines is flooded. If you want to join in and speak to Streets Rear, just press 1. If you want your PC, the number to call, 646-238-38, and press 1 to go on the air. Hold on, we have a caller for you, Streets. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey,
do you have Streets of Rear on?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how you doing?
Good, good, good. I'm a new fan. But my question I have for you is, in the music that you're making, in the music that all the songs I heard tonight, what would you say would make you different from a lot of the other up-and-coming artists?
I say the difference between me and a lot of the upcoming artists is that I'm not afraid to talk about being broke, coming from nothing, I'm not flashy, you know what I'm saying? I'm giving you a real reflection of the have-nots. You know, I'm representing the people, poor people, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that's poor, not afraid, you know, to admit it, you know what I'm saying? And I say, you know, being able to evaluate yourself, that's staying true to yourself. If you stay true to yourself, you can be true to other people, you know what I'm saying? And so I feel like I mastered that crap, you know, and I have no shame in my game, and then the people go draw to what's real. The truth never needs support, if nothing else.
Okay, and in the music that you're making, do you have, what message would you say for the younger generation? Because, you know, of course, you know, with the music that's out nowadays, you know, a lot of them, you know, have different messages, but what would you say about your music that the younger crowd, because, you know, the younger crowd, the younger than 18, I mean, nowadays they think they're grown anyway, you know, but when they listen to your music, what would you want them to get from it?
I want them to be inspired to go the right way, not the wrong way. You know, it's a lot of songs that, you know, I paint vivid pictures of an indirect action. It could be something, you know, not too positive or so, but at the same time, I'm not glorifying the lifestyle. I'm telling you the ins and outs of it. And so you can hear this record or see this video, and that can make you feel like, man, I don't want no parts of that. You know, he painted it good enough for me, you know, to see I can go another route, you know. And like I said, I told the viewers earlier, you know, it's nothing wrong with y'all getting a job, you know, and stacking up and doing it in other ways other than, you know, risking your freedom. But at the end of the day, you got to be out here for your loved ones, you know. And so I'm reflecting definitely a vivid picture, and people are going to be able to, whatever age group you is, you're going to be able to recognize what's real.
Okay. Well, thank you. And where did you say that you can purchase your track from?
You can go to mtv.com.
MCV?
MTV.com, and then
MTV.com,
and then search Streets of Rear, STREETZA RIA, and you can purchase any other tracks you heard tonight.
Okay, all right, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
Right, please, we're running out of time, but what I want you to do is, I want you to give everybody your info real fast. Let them know where they can get the songs, buy the songs, everything. Let them know how to contact you and the whole nine.
Okay, cool. All right, well, you can contact me email if you want to book me at MILLIONDOLLAR@gmail.com. If you want to purchase any of the records you heard tonight, go to MTV.com, search Street Surreal, S-C-R-E-E-T, Z as in zebra, A, space R-I-A, Street Surreal, and get any of the records you heard. I got some free mixtapes on Dat Piff, Street Certified. Go cop the Faded on the Beat album, West Up. Rick, shout out Uncle Rick Ross, Uncle Freeway Rick. And y'all go ahead and Uncle Snoop, y'all go and cop that album, Faded on the Beat. Number 13 is BS, featuring me and Faded. And we're going worldwide. Shout out all the producers. And then make sure y'all tune in. Go to YouTube to see the videos. Go to Google, see any other blogs. Shout out to Rich Money for having me on here. Shout out to Bronx, you know what I'm saying? Shout out my hometown, St. Louis. Much love. And shout out everybody worldwide tuning in. And going to be a fan from here on. We are all family. One love, one nation.
No doubt, no doubt. You know, Street, it's definitely an honor having you on. But I got to ask you one more question before we go. What is the worst thing about being an up-and-coming artist?
The worst thing about being an upcoming artist is the respect. A lot of people don't respect you, you know, as an upcoming artist coming in the game, because they feel like, you know, it's a million to you. It's 100,000 to you. You know, but all it takes is that, you know, one critic to really listen, to just listen, you know, and judge by the social D, the content of the character, what you hear from that, you know what I'm saying? Don't just be judgmental, and that's the hardest part, you know, being able to get that one person to listen. Because that's why, like, with me, all I need is one person to listen. That's all I need. And once I get that one person to listen, we family, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
Go from there.
No doubt. Well, Trees, like I said, we definitely going to put you in a magazine. We definitely going to throw some of your joints in a mixtape. Anytime you got those exclusives, you hit us with it. Look for us. We also going to be on time in a TV screen soon. So, you know, we definitely have to invite you down to that as well. But we definitely going to be hitting the TV screen, you know. Thanks again. Like I said, keep us with those exclusives. We definitely going to have, we definitely want to support us now. You know what I mean? GQ Power supports everybody. You know what I'm saying? That's just how we do. So, you know, if we have been in St. Louis, who knows? We might be down there sooner than you think.
Already then, man. Well, shout out everybody tuned in. Shout out you for having me. And like I said, Streets Real, we global. Let's go ahead and connect. One nation.
No doubt. That's definitely what it is. For sure. All
right, man. Peace out.
All right, all right. Street Surreal, Dons and Divas. All right, coming up next, we have Mark Polite. And he's a writer. We're going to find out what he does in his writing career about writing blogs and fill us in if he got on any other aspects he got going on in the professional business field. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. What we're going to do right now, we're going to send y'all out with a little cha-cha-cha. Till we come back with my man Mark Polite, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Color Baby.
Casper Slide Part 2, featuring the Platinum Band, and this time, we're gonna get funky, 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 funky. Everybody clap your hands, clap, 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 clap your hands, clap, 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 clap your hands, all right. Alright now, we're gonna do the basic step. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. Right foot, let's stomp. Left foot, let's stomp. Cha cha, real smooth. Turn it out. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. Right foot, let's stomp. Left foot, let's stomp. Cha cha now, y'all. Now it's time to get funky. To the right now. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. One hop this time. Right foot, two stumps. Left foot, two stumps. Slide to the left. Slide to the right. Crisscross. Crisscross. Cha-cha, real smooth. Let's go to work. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. Two hops this time. Two hops this time. Right foot, two stumps. Left foot, two stumps. Hands on your knees. Hands on your knees. Get funky with it. Turn it out. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. Five hops this time. Right foot, let's start. Left foot, let's start. Right foot again. Left foot again. Right foot, let's start. Left foot, let's start. Freeze. Everybody clap your hands. Come on, y'all. Get out, y'all. How low can you go? Can you go down low? All the way to the floor? How low can you go? Can you bring it to the top? Like it never, never stop? Can you bring it to the top? One hop. Right foot now. Left foot now, y'all. Cha-cha, real smooth. Turn it out. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. One hop this time. Reverse. Reverse. Slide to the left. Slide to the right. Reverse, reverse. Reverse, reverse. Cha-cha now, y'all. Cha-cha again. Cha-cha now, y'all. Cha-cha again. Turn it out. To the left. Take it back now, y'all. Two hops, two hops, two hops, two hops. Right foot, left stomp. Left foot, left stomp. Charlie Brown. Hop it out now. Slide to the right. Slide to the left. Take it back now, y'all. Cha-cha now, y'all.
The one, the only, Mark for Life. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for just having me on. Yeah.
Mark, I want to thank you for joining us this evening.
Okay. You know, thank you again for having me on. Shout out to everybody who's listening on a Friday night. We're about to get into some stuff, man. So, let's go.
Yeah, let's make it happen now. You're the writer.
Yeah. I know you probably you've heard of me, like Venus told you about me. So pretty much my thing is, you know, I write. I'm a blogger. You know, that's my thing. I'm more of the, you know, socially conscious kind of person and whatnot. So I mean that's pretty much my angle. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's good to be, you know, on the show that is, like, content-based, you know what I'm saying? Because I've heard so much about this show, so it's good to finally be on here.
Now, as far as you being, like, a writer, what was the first piece you ever wrote?
Wow. The first piece I ever wrote, you know, when I started taking it seriously, I wrote about basically hip-hop, and pretty much, it was a piece about the generation gap within hip-hop, how there's more than one hip-hop generation. You know, to me, in my opinion, I mean, people listening can feel free to disagree, but in my opinion, I think there's more than one. I'd venture to say there's three hip-hop generations. I'd say the first one is the generation that started it, you know, back in the 70s or whatnot. And then you have, like, the second generation of hip-hoppers, which, you know, pretty much from the golden age to, you know, the 1990s, which really that's my era of hip-hop. And then you have the third generation, which is pretty much anything like that came on from pretty much 2000s up until now. So, I mean, I know that's not an exact science of breaking it down, like, in terms of years, but I definitely think there's a difference in the focus of those three generations, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s and 2010s and whatnot. So my first opinion piece was about how hip-hop has changed over the past 30 years, you know. So so that's kind of how I first started to write about certain things. So, yeah, that's how I started.
Now, let me ask you, as far as you, how many years have you been writing a month as a producer? And if so, how much do you feel you improved in the last few as a writer?
Let's see. To your first question, I can say honestly that I've been seriously writing for the past 4 years, and which is pretty much the age of my site. My website is called politeonsociety.com, and it's pretty much a space of social commentary and political analysis. And I'm just saying that just to let people know. But to go back to, you know, so your second question was, you wanted to know what motivates me, or
how much do you feel you improved in the last few years as a writer?
In the last 2 years,
your last year,
like I've done
your last year.
Because
you said you've been writing for 4 years, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so to answer that question, I would definitely say that I've improved, like, a great deal. I would say I've learned how to tackle different topics. I've learned how to come at things a different direction. And I've learned how to pitch myself to different outlets. Because in addition to my blog, I've done freelance stuff. I've written for Madame Noir. I've written for Time Magazine. So in those experiences, I've gained valuable insight as to how to present yourself, how to argue your case, and pretty much the things that writers need to know to progress and, you know, move forward and taking it seriously. So I'd say that in the past 2 years, I've, you know, improved a great deal. And I'm looking to just build on that understanding as I go further along.
Okay. Now, where do you get most of your ideas?
Okay. Well, I mean, like I've said before, most of my stuff is based on the political world, based on, for the most part, the African American experience and what that means in terms of how the media sees it. And I would say that most of my ideas come from the things that do not get said, or I say the things that were left out of the conversation. Like, I'd say that if I see a mainstream viewpoint, right, and I'll make the consideration that here's an angle that's not really brought up in the right way. Like, I don't know if you've heard of the case of Jonathan Ferrell. the young man in North Carolina who unfortunately was killed asking for help from the police. And I just decided to talk about that on my, like, in some of my stuff. And it's just like, well, why is this not being discussed? And I just choose things that I feel that need more attention. So that's kind of my angle, and that's kind of where I get most of my ideas from.
Now, what do you think makes a good writer?
Well, let's see. I'd say the things that make a good writer are, I'd say attention to detail. I'd say a keen sense of what people are talking about out here. And I have to add this too. You have to have the element of pursuing the truth in you, you know, because I mean, if you look at the mainstream media, they're most of their interests are in covering up things or papering over things. And I mean, well, you can be a good writer and paper over things, but that's not really, in my opinion, it's really doing a disservice to your audience. But in my opinion, I just feel like, you know, a good writer should bring forth things to people. It should make people. A good writer should try to raise the awareness of the people that read their works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion of, you know, what a good writer will raise emotions in you and make you think about things in a non-typical way that you haven't even thought about before. So, I mean, that's my opinion on what it takes to be a good writer.
Okay. Now, I know that somebody, they get writer's block. How do you read out your writer's block if you get writer's block?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Writer's block is just a fact of, I mean, I shouldn't say fact of life. It's more of a fact of the reality of the career, so to speak. And I'd say what helps me is that I end up going back. I'll end up, if I'm having trouble dealing with one topic, right, I'll leave it alone for a while. Because sometimes your best ideas are not going to come immediately, you know. Sometimes your best ideas will come along maybe an hour after you do something else. Like, okay, if you have a sentence that's just not coming out and you have paragraphs that are just not coming together, sometimes it's just best to, you know, just take a break, go outside, you know, go for a walk in the park, go to the basketball court, you know, just do something else. And then ideas come to you as you just walk around, as you do other things, as you, you know, maybe step and go to the gym, whatever. And then when you come back to it, you come back to whatever you was dealing with, writing about, you almost come back at it refreshed. And then a lot of times you can find out that, well, me sitting in the library for 3 hours straight, I can either sit here for 3 hours straight and have nothing to look at but four walls, or I can leave it alone after in half an hour, do something else, and then come back to it at the later time. And I find that works for me.
Okay. So let me ask you, what is your favorite thing or element as a writer?
Okay. I'd say my favorite theme is, I want to say uncovering truth and really picking things apart and understanding them, because I just feel as though there is just so much out here that people are not even aware of, that just the work that it takes to unearth all this stuff, I mean, I just feel like that in itself is a mission. So I guess one of my greatest themes is just, you know, the whole idea of making people aware of things, making people know about things. And if I had to just base my favorite theme of my site, it's basically awareness of what's going on in the world, awareness of, for the most part, the things that surround a person and how that affects their life and how that affects their decisions, choices, and their outcomes. So I would say that's my overall theme.
Now, I was informed, I know you're a writer and everything. You write blogs. Mm-hmm. Fill us in on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. I mean, it's a familiar... It might be an unfamiliar term to people that's listening, but a blog is essentially, I'll just break it down. A blog is the short term, the short for web blog, which is basically a frequently updated website that you can have as a platform. And it's pretty much... something that you can use to get your voice out there. And there's all kinds of blogs. I mean, there's blogs about relationships, there's blogs about politics like mine, there's blogs about history, there's blogs about video games, you know. I've seen several blogs about Grand Theft Auto 5, which came out this week and made $800 million. You know, so there's all kinds of topics out here. There's all kinds of topics out here. And then the thing about the blogging world is that it's so easy to get into. There's very little cost of admission, and there's a lot you can do with it. You can either have a picture blog, you can post videos, you can focus on text. It's basically up to whatever you want it to be about. So I mean, that's in short what blogs are about.
Okay. Because I know that I see that you are a writer and an author. What's the difference between a writer and an author?
Well, I mean, a writer is, you know, someone who, you know, writes articles, blog posts, you know, they contribute and everything. But an author, that's just a little bit different. An author is basically just someone who's written a book. And, like, I've actually released a book earlier this year. It's a short book of poetry. And it's like, you know, like, it's part of the whole, you know, I'm part of the whole spoken word scene. I'm into that thing, like, the whole Love Jones kind of thing. You know, that's what I'm into. Like, I like to, you know, read poetry in my spare time and go to open mics and whatnot. So that's just something I decided to do because it's just something that I've always wanted to do for years. And it took me this long to act on it. I was writing poetry for like 3 years, and I decided to just say, you know what, let me just put it out, see how it does. So basically, answer your question, and the difference between the author and the writer. An author is someone who's written a full-length book or a book of their own, whereas a writer is someone who does something that's more in short form.
Okay, so now, as you being an author, is there anybody, you know, we talked about the writer, we're going to get back to the writing part, but let's get to the author real fast. As you being an author,
okay,
do you feel there's anybody out there that you feel is a mentor towards you that's an author?
Let me see. I mean, I don't know. That's the thing. As an author, I can't really say for sure that I have a mentor as an author because, I mean, this is an endeavor that I've kind of, you know, participated on my own. Like, I've started it. I mean, I've had people encourage me to do a book, but as far as another author, you know, out there who's, you know, reached out to me or anything on that level, I mean, there's people who I you know, who I look up to, but, you know, from a distance and whatnot, but I don't necessarily know them or know them well enough to pick up the phone and say, or send them an email or call them and say, how do I do this? So, I mean, to answer your question, in short, I don't really have a mentor in the whole author endeavor, so it's just more of some people that I may, you know, admire here and there.
Okay, so let me ask you, everybody got a favorite place for where they do their thinking at. What's your favorite place for where you do your writing and their thinking at?
Okay. I would say, I mean, yeah, honestly, I have to say the library. I mean, like, just coming from my academic background and coming, especially since I've spent so much time in libraries, you know, that's where I really feel comfortable at, like, really getting things down, you know, maybe going through books every now and then. I mean, like, I know some people are big on the whole Starbucks thing and, you know, sitting in, like, writing out for hours and hours, but, you know, I mean, that's cool for some folks, but that's not, I mean, I'd rather be in the library, you know, for a couple of hours, just banging something out, you know, and just figuring out what I want to talk about. Yeah, so.
As far as your book, did you have it published, or was it non-published by you?
Okay. Well, my book is actually self-published, and I decided to just do that. Yeah, I've decided to self-publish my own book because the thing is, and that's the sad thing about the industry, is that the industry only really picks up certain things, and I didn't want to wait for a publisher to see the value in what I was doing. I didn't want to wait until one of the bigger publishers see the value in the kind of poetry that I write. So I decided to take a chance, take a risk, and put it out there myself. And luckily, it has paid off. It definitely has paid off. So yeah, I'm a self-published author and everything. So I just decided to take it into my own hands and come at it that way. And that's something that I'll be doing. I'll just be continuing on that road in the future as well. You know, I mean, of course, there's always going to be room for published authors in the mainstream world, but I just felt that at this early stage, with me being relatively unknown and coming from the blog world, that it would be best for me to self-publish and then build my audience and then build my platform from there. So that's how I came at it.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this. If you had to choose one, writing a blog, doing the novels, which one would it be?
Ooh, wow. Now, that's a rough question because, I mean, I have years of experience doing blogs, but I mean, that's the thing, a novel, that's something I want to do someday. You know, that's like one of my, you know, pardon the term, that's one of my bucket list kind of things that I want to do. But if I had to choose, I think I would choose the novel. If I had to go on, like, from now on and had to choose either one or the other, because I'll choose a novel, and there's a reason why. Blogs, I mean, while they're great, it's not a permanent format. I mean, blogs, you know, go away, they shrink, people stop visiting them. But a novel is something that, once you put out a novel, that's forever. Once you put out any kind of book, that's forever, you know. That's like a permanent record, you know. And, like, people will come back to, like, a classic novel 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later, you know. I mean, they're still reading stuff about Ralph Ellison, well, except maybe from North Carolina, but that's besides the point. But my whole point is the novel is the classic format, and if I had to choose and couldn't do blogs, I'd go with the novel.
Okay. Now, let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If somebody was to come up to you and needed some advice from you, up and coming,
mm-hmm.
writer, even author, what advice can you give them?
I mean, the first thing I would say is know your own value. And I would say that don't let anybody discourage you from what you want to write about. And you've got to stand like very astute and, you know, and stand very resolute rather in, you know, what you're about. Because, I mean, there's all kinds of folks out here who will try to twist you to say that, well, maybe that's not the right idea. You should really write about something else that's more popular, or you should write about what everybody else wants to read. I mean, I'd say to upcoming authors that stay true to what you're about. If you're into poetry, go with that. If you're into short stories, go with it. If that's your strong point, if that's what you do best, stick with it and stay with it. Don't try to copy what the next person is doing. Don't try to come out with your own version of a relationship book. Don't try to come out with your own urban novel just because that's what's popping right now. You know, just stay authentic and be true. And then people that really will appreciate what you're talking about, they'll eventually gravitate towards you. You know, so I mean that would be my first couple pieces of advice. And of course, you know, along with that, don't stop writing. Don't stop learning your craft. You know.
Okay. Now let me ask you,
uh-huh.
What made you first fall in love with being a writer?
Well, I mean, I say what made me, you know, like I fall in love with it is just the idea of having a voice, you know, because I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, everything is about silencing somebody now, right? It's just like, well, you're not at this level, so you shouldn't talk. You should be quiet. You should let people at the top decide everything. And you know, you really don't. You as the common man or woman don't really deserve a voice. And needless to say, I don't really agree with that. So that's actually what part of the reason that propels me to be a writer is to have my own voice and to, you know, make sense of what I sometimes see as nonsense. And so that's part of the reason that I've, you know, embraced writing as a format.
Now, let's say somebody came up to you and wanted you to do, let's say they wanted to do, like you said, you wanted to write a novel or something, and wanted to do it
mm-hmm.
as a movie. Would you want to be a character in that? Or would you prefer, you know, to get active? Because some are authors that do their novels, they feel there's no better character than they self. So which one would you prefer, do it yourself or have someone act it out?
Let me see. Well, I mean, it depends because, I mean, if it's something that I've written, like, I would, like, you know, I would want to be, you know, the primary, I would want to be the actor, but, you know, that's just me. But the thing is, like, it's funny that, you know, acting, that's something I've thought about, but I haven't really taken seriously, you know, so I'd lean towards, if it's not about me, I'd lean towards, you know, picking another character because, you know, you don't want to oversaturate yourself. You don't want to oversaturate yourself with your presence. Sometimes the writer needs to distance himself from their writing, and then if you're in some kind of play or something, and you're also, you know, like a character or, you know, one of the actors, then people could be like, well, that's too much. Like, you need to fall back, this, that, and the third. So I think I would, like, kind of err towards, you know, just picking somebody else as a character. I mean, at least for now.
Okay. Now, I also know that you is the founder and editor of Chief of Light on Society.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us about that.
Okay. So, like I was saying, like, Light on Society is the site that I founded. I've pretty much, you know, put a lot into it. And, like, I have basically a editor-in-chief role, which means not only do I control the content that I put up there, but I actually look over the content that other people have submitted for me, meaning that, like, in addition to me, well, I mean, when I first started, it was just me. I mean, that's obviously the name of the site. But now it's grown to a point where I have people that contribute to me, like have contributing writers from around the country, like whether it be like here in New York or, you know, elsewhere. So I've had contributors from Chicago, you know, different parts of the country and everything. So basically an EIC editor-in-chief is someone who just looks over a draft article and just says, well, you know, change this, change that, edit this, edit that, put the picture here, censor it, put a caption under, you know, basically like editorial functionings. So so that's what that's about, really. And that's where I've learned a great deal about presentation and how to frame an article and how to showcase something. So I mean that's about it on that note.
Now, I know you were an award-winning writer for New York City. You wrote issues concerning history, labor, technology. You hold a bachelor in political science and a master in history for the City College of New York. How did you accomplish and balance everything out? Do so much, you know, considering history, like you said, you're often. How did you balance everything out?
Well, I'd say that all the stuff that I've done, the other achievements that you noted, that all came before I started blogging. Meaning, like I finished my bachelor's before I started, really blogging like heavily, and even my master's degree, you know, in history, I actually kind of started on the tail end when I was finishing, but by the time I was wrapping up, you know, then I started getting into blogging. So I just had to focus on school first, and with that behind me, then I could do something that could go on and do other things, you know. So I mean that's how I managed it and was able to balance everything out, because I just made sure that I chose to do this first. I chose to take care of my education first and do that first before I pursue another endeavor. So that's how I balanced it out.
Now, what was the hardest part about writing the book and being a writer and a blog? What was the hardest thing about writing the book? What was the hardest part?
Let me see. I'd say the hardest thing and one of the most difficult things about writing, I'd say that knowing what to take out. And when you're self-publishing a book, you have to make decisions about which pieces aren't ready, which pieces need some work, what you should put in the book, what you shouldn't put in the book, how it's going to present it, you know, the cover, how it's going to look and everything, you know, photos. I'd say the hardest thing for me getting this first book out is just knowing that what stuff to put in. Because like I've mentioned to you before, I write poetry, but and I've written poetry for like over 3 years. Yeah, 3 years now. About to be 4. And the thing is, I had to pretty much choose what was going to go in the book, because I had to make an effort to distill things, because I've written over 30 poems, like almost nearing like 33 right now. And the thing is, the book that I have out now, I only have 10 in there. And it's not because I'm trying to hold back content, right? It's because I went with the strongest ones. I went with the ones that really resonated with people. I've read these poems over and over in front of people, and I've gouged the crowd's responses to my stuff. And I went with my 10 strongest poems and decided to put them out there for the world to see. And so I'd say the hardest part is just, as a writer, is just figure out what you should put in there. And, you know, that's something that everybody should think about. And that's a big challenge as a writer.
Now, as far as you writing your poetry, don't everybody write poetry. Now, as far as you writing your poetry in your aspect and field division, has there ever been one that made you laugh hard, or even one that made you cry, like cry the most out of all of them?
Well, that's the thing. I try not to, like, to answer to go in reverse order, like to answer questions about poems that evoke emotions, about crying and everything. I really try to stay away from, like, sad poems. Like, so I don't like to do those because I don't feel good writing about stuff like that. I don't like to be sad, you know. I mean, of course, sadness is part of life, but I don't like to be in that mind frame. So I try not to write in that when I'm in that mood. I just kind of do my best to let it pass. But to answer the other part, as far as being, you know, happy or laughing, yeah, like I have some stuff in my book that's written in a very joking tone, the sarcastic tone, that people would look at and say that, oh, they would look at it in the Facebook and say that, wait a minute, they have to look at it twice and turn on the side and say, is he kidding or is he serious? So sometimes I play like that, and I'm just like, wait a minute. You know, let me just let people know that, okay, it's satire. It's like a joke. So I like to talk about things, but I like trying to flip it around in a way that makes it comical and some people see the hypocrisy in it. So I do like to, like, entertain people with my words and everything, but I'd rather people make people laugh and think at the same time, you know, rather than just people make people sad. Because, I mean, let's be honest, there's enough misery in the world as it is. So I don't want somebody to pick up my book and just read misery. I mean, you can watch the news and get misery, you know.
Okay. Now, every author have a favorite piece that they have written. In your poems, which one would you say is the favorite that you have written? Your favorite.
I'd say my favorite would have to be Renewed and Enthused. That's one of the titles of that poem. And that poem in particular is about picking yourself back up after you've been knocked down, after you feel like the world has drained every ounce of energy out of you. And you just have no more. You're just running on E, and you can't go. You can't do this anymore. You can't continue on. And you know that the poem is really about finding a new way to look at things, and finding your, you know, like getting back into that space where you're ready to take on the world again, even after being knocked down horrendously. So. So that's pretty much my favorite piece.
Okay. Now, you know, it's actually a TV show out called Virtues and Flows, where they act out their poetry. I don't know if you've seen it, heard of it. Okay. How would you act out the scenes in your poetry? Like, what type of format would you use? Would you be like a nervous on stage and have to wear the dark sunglasses? Or is it some way, some metaphor that you have where you could just act it out?
I mean, let me see. Like, I would that I would act it out. So how I would choose acting, I would probably act it out as a monologue.
Okay.
You know, just imagine like a, you know, a dude in front of a mic, you know, talking to a crowd as if he's talking to himself, but he's trying to make people understand what he's dealing with. You know, it's just like, you know, just like a, I don't know if you remember Deaf Poetry. You know that show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've had, like, I used to go in there. I used to see rappers perform monologues, and I was just like, wow, that was really impressive. You know, so I think that would be, you know, something that I would like to do. You know, I would love to act out my stuff on stage, get the crowd involved, you know, make sure my, you know, like I'm being, having a full forward expression and everything. So, I guess that's how it would come off. I mean, I don't know if I would use the whole, you know, black jacket, sunglasses as a prop. You know, I don't think I would thought it'd be necessary. I think people would kind of get what I'm talking about just from the words. I mean, just saying it like I need to say it. You know. So
now,
yeah.
Okay. So now, when doing your poetry, your book, when naming your character, because you know you're doing characters and you're doing the poetry, do you give any thought to the actual meaning when you're writing it, the character?
Yeah. I do, because. I mean, my poetry name is Born Last, and it's like a name joke, because I grew up in, well, not just growing up, but I still have people addressing me with name jokes, and it's just like, you know, are you really polite, this, that, and the third, and it's just like, okay, I've heard this, I've been hearing this for 34 years, let me find a way to flip it around, let me find a way to turn something that was turned against me into like an asset, you know. Instead of a way of putting me in my place, it's a way of me projecting out there, you know. And I came up with, you know, Born Nice. Like, okay, you know, I was born a polite. You know, that's my father's last name. I got it from him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Born Nice makes sense. You know, so that's where it comes from.
Now, how do you conceive your ideas, your plot ideas, when you're writing your poem?
So how do I see my ideas?
Conceive your plot ideas, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I'd say that, in general, I just talk about the things that I'm going through. And I talk about what I've dealt with in the past, and my ideas come from my life, so to speak. You know, I don't really draw it. Like, I mean, I know my writing is separate from my poetry. My writing is based on what's going on in the world, but my poetry is based on what's going on with me. So I take more of an inward look, you know, and I deal with what I've come through and what I've had to face, and how I've faced it and how I've dealt with it, and that's where my motivation and my topics and how I come at things, that's where it comes from.
Now, do you use real life facts based on the true stories in your poetry?
That's the thing. I do use real life situations. I've used things that I've gone through, but as far as, and I've used things that people have said to me. About to get loud, sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It gets loud in here sometimes. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah, my fault. But you know, like I was saying, like I use things that have happened to me, and I use that as motivation to move forward. Now, I mean, as far as characters, I really don't have characters in my poetry. It's more of kind of expository writing, me talking about what I've been through. I haven't created characters per se. And that's more of a function of, I just need to get my own voice out there before I'm ready to kind of take on anybody else's voice, you know. And that's how I kind of come at it, because, you know, you gotta learn how to, you have to learn how to express yourself first before you help others express themselves, you know, or before you try to write somebody else's life into a poem. So, I mean, that's how I look at it.
Now, if you could work with any author, who would it be? And would you consider your writing style to be similar to theirs?
Wow. Work with any author. Wow. Wow. I'd say if I wanted to work with any author, wow. I'd want to work with I don't know if you've heard of Farrah Jasmine Griffin. She's wrote a book about there's a book called Who Set You Flowing, and it's a book about the Black people returning to the South. And I was thinking to myself reading her book at that time. I was just like, I haven't finished it though, but I'm about to finish. But the thing is, just reading through, I was just like, wow, this is really some descriptive language here. And as far as, you know, being similar, nah, she's definitely levels above me. So I'm on like level one. So, you know, I'm a new jack at this. So, you know, it would be like basically, you know, being taken to school. So, I mean, so yeah, you know, that's one person I like to work with or whatnot.
Okay. Now, do you still write and blog something you can make a career out of?
I mean, people do make a career out of it. Like, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I guess what you're trying to ask me is if you know, I want to make a career out of it, but
no,
I'd say that.
General. No, speaking in general, you know,
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you could definitely, there are people who are full-time bloggers. So, yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, I've even, you know, like, got a chance to talk to a couple and telling me how, you know, how it works and how they set things up and everything. So, yeah, it's definitely a field out here that you could get out and have a career. You know, so that's the case, definitely. But I guess in my instance, I'm more of like, this is like a hobby to me. And it's just like, well, you know, this is something I love to do. And it's just like a passion of mine. And it's fun to me, you know. It's just fun to me right now. So this is just something that I love to do. And I'm going to keep on doing. And I'm going to keep doing, you know, keep promoting the book and, like, have future projects lined up and everything. So, yeah, so to answer your question, yeah, it's definitely something you could make a career of.
Okay. Now, I just want to tell you, you know, before you go, because time is getting short, it's up to you.
Okay.
Would you prefer to give us a little taste of one of your poems before you give out all your information and everything to everybody? I didn't go to the website, the blogs. It's up to you, you know. If you want to give a little taste, if not, then we understand. You can just have them get the book on. I believe you got it on Kindle and Amazon and everything.
Oh, man, that's the thing. it's funny. I'm in a place where I don't have my book in front of me. I don't have my poetry book in front of me. So, you know, I don't want to recite. I don't want to recite part of it and then begin in the middle and then go back and I don't want to do that. I don't want to just see our listeners or whatnot. So, but I mean, if you want to see me like me perform, like I do have videos on YouTube where you can go and look up.
Yeah, you know what? I want you to give all that information out. Your videos on YouTube, where you can get your book, the writer's blog, the Polite Society, let them know everything. Give them all the information that you got.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm okay.
Gonna sit back and relax. So it's all on you now.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much. I mean, I definitely appreciate everybody, you know, for listening and whatnot. So, you know, if you're into poetry, you know, definitely check out my book. It's called The Poetic Ruminations of Mr. Born Nice, and it's pretty much me chronicling my story from, you know, growing up in Harlem or whatnot, all the way to now, you know, to me being, you know, me being a father and everything, you know, of a beautiful little girl. So, you know, that's the title of my book. You can get it on Amazon.com. Print version or Kindle version. I got both available. You can also get my book at Sisters Uptown Bookstore in Harlem, which is located on 156th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. You can get it there. You can also, if you're into like political stuff and social commentary, you can also visit my blog, politeonsociety.com. You can go there. And I wanted to announce to everyone who's listening on here that I actually had the pleasure of being nominated for Best Political Blogger and Best News Blogger of 2013. So you can go to my site to get information to vote for me, you know. So,
give
yeah.
Give them information.
So,
let them know that, too.
Yeah, so you can reach me on Twitter at Mark Polite, M-E-R-C, P-R-I-T-E, you know, just search me up. YouTube, Mark Polite, same deal. You can search my videos there, you know, see my poetry and everything, see some of my talks outside and whatnot, see some of my performances at Sisters Uptown, so... So you pretty much have everything, you know, but I just wanted to say, you know, thank you, and then, you know, go ahead and follow me, tweet me, you know, send me a message or whatnot, I'll answer you, you know, you want to ask a question or whatnot, I'm here, so, definitely, yeah.
We're definitely going to do that. And Mark, I want to tell you it's an honor to have you on. We're going to put you in the GQ Palace magazine as well. You know, GQ Palace is one of your biggest supporters now. We're going to do what we can
okay.
do to also promote your book as well and that blog. And anytime
okay.
you want to come back, it's never a problem.
Okay. All right. Cool. I really appreciate this. And, you know, thank you. And, you know, shout out to everybody listening and whatnot, you know. Huh, man, this is awesome. But yeah, it's so much more to learn. So just visit my site and, you know, follow me on Twitter. Just keep
okay,
conversation
so
going.
Much more to learn. Then all you gotta do is let us know, and we're gonna bring you right back on. It's not gonna be a problem.
Okay. All right then. Cool. That's what's up. That's what's all up.
Right.
All right then.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
Mark for life, stars and divas. All right, y'all. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank all my guests. I want to thank the callers. But most of all, I want to thank the man above. Because without him, none of this would be possible. Don't forget, GQ Palace has 8 different shows a week with 11 different hosts. Sunday, from 7 to 9. We have Spiritual Sunday with Ms. Lavina Polite and Minister Arthur L. Weathersby opening prayer from 7 to 9 on Sundays, playing the gospel music, reading scriptures of the Bible. Feel free to call in and give your testimony as well. Right after them, from 9 to 10, we have Force Road Temple with Mr. Faith Walker, and he'll be interviewing some of the hottest gospel acts and hip-hop gospel artists. So make sure you tune in for that. 7 to 9, Spiritual Sunday, Lavina Polite, Minister Arthur Weathersby, 9 to 10, Faith Walker, Crossroad Temple. Monday, we have UAR, Unsigned Artist Radio, where we bring you the hottest up-and-coming artists and pioneers, music that was sent to GQ Palace exclusive, never heard before. That's from 8 to 9, and we're thinking about changing the time and bringing it to 8 to 10, and that's with various hosts. We're going to have various hosts from the GQ Palace family and who knows who else that will be hosting that Monday show, 8 to 9 on Monday, UAR, Unsigned Radio. On Tuesdays, GPS, GQ Palace Sports with the Mayor, bringing you the bigger picture, how he say he's doing it, hard body karate, 8 to 10 on Tuesday. So if you know your sports,
When you want to get down on it, make sure you call in, because when you come, you got to come hard. He's in a building doing it big. That's the mayor, GPS, GQ College Sports, 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, we have the Diva Squad, GQ College Lost Fantasy with the Diva Squad, 7 to 9, bringing you their grown and sexy topics and playing the hottest old and new school of R&B. And bring you their grown and sexy topics, like I say, from 7 to 9. Right after them, we have comedian Rakim Chick Singleton, Fallout Comedy, bringing you the funniest jokes on Radio Live. That's 7 to 9, Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad, 9 to 10, Fallout Comedy with Rakim Chick Singleton. Thursday, we have Reality and Relationship with KL and Tiffany Belvin, bringing you that truth to the matter on relationships and letting you know what's going on in the world of the news today. Then on Friday, that's from 8 to 10 on Thursday, with KL and Tiffany Belvin. Then on Friday, be right back here at GQ Palace with your man Rich Money. Don't forget, it's going down September 26th, Thursday, at the Gasolina Boston Road Comedy. Smokey, Kenny Wu, and a lot of other people that's going to be on that stage. So make sure you go to that joint at the Gasoline on Boston Road. I'll fill y'all in a little later on the effects of it. We get another host on another show to fill y'all in. That's with K. Smith Entertainment. Once again, I am your host, and Miss Lavina Polite, I have to thank you for the beginning of the segment. Great job. Don't be surprised if it be happening on a regular. So people, I want to thank y'all once again. I am your host, Rich Money. Y'all have a safe and blessed weekend, all right? And don't forget, bundle up, because it's getting kind of chilly out there. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
To the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue.
Walk from reloaded, step into the palace. Better check your matters to find divine status. Not average, Dunny, I'm Rich Money. A king among men from sin if you're ugly. Hug me, polite, Levine, I spit wine. And turning back the water, your order, order mine. Reality, relationship, you better get a grip. KL and Tiffany, the magnificent. God omnipotent, Sunday spiritual. I'm so polite when I enter if you're miserable. So visual, the mayor, the player. I plus the rose from my garden to my heat there. New York Nixon, my queen is a vixen. 1257, nap, you're glisten. Love like loyal, my point is pure oil. My phone keeps ringing from dudes, counting spoil.
You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. My crew's thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. If the palace royalty is a virtue.
Love, entertainment, I name it and I claim it. Bring the duck on that Turner style, untainted. A messenger of light, I'm sitting to the night. My poetry is pain, Eric Ben Ross Wright. Step into Dallas, I educate Alice. Old school to new school, playing pure ballad. Divinely inspired, birth to approve. This is the Diva Squad on the move. Rachel and DC, gotta take it easy. Start to feel good, real good when you need me. Rich Money, I rise, survive all your lives. Most high too good, so I keep staying high. Why parable, GQ, not comparable. Out of line, disconnect, won't even air the fool. Street apostle, far from a fossil. Make a major move, GQ, it's colossal.
You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that I hurt you. Run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you want to. A cruise thorough is the truth that I hurt you.
run and go and tell them haters it's your curfew. It's the palace, royalty is a virtue. You can come to the palace if you...